Can Michael Porter Jr. win Most Improved Player in 2023? Plus, is he a, quote, elite shooter? Also, let's just dive into MPJ in general. This is Locked On Nuggets.
You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Thanks for making this your first listen each and every day. We're free and we're available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you can join folks like CJ Morgan, Brad Stringer, Carlos, LLB1000, Josh Winninger is back in here once again. Joe Broussard is in here. MV213 is in here as well, hanging out with me on a late Tuesday night. This is going to be a bonus episode, so I'm recording this on Tuesday. I think this is probably going to go up on Wednesday evening on the podcast. If you are listening to this then you're listening to it then. Otherwise, we decided to put it up earlier. This is more of a bonus episode this week. I want to get it in just because I had some thoughts about MPJ, because over on my other podcast, which is Buckets, which you can find on the Action Network, I broke down a lot about MPJ because we were talking about Most Improved Player and where the value is on the odds for him to win Most Improved, as well as all the other candidates, and talking about, you know, I brought up the usage question, which I think is going to be like a little bit of an issue, and all of these other things that are kind of in play when we start to talk about MPJ and where he's going to fit into the rotation next season and what the usage is going to look like for him next season. I think that MIP is going to be difficult for him to win, but we'll talk about whether or not he can here on the show. We're also going to talk a little bit about a question that was posed by Tony Jones from The Athletic. Had a little commentary about MPJ on Twitter because Tony likes to get into it with folks. Look, I can't judge, so do I. So do I. I can't judge these things. So we'll talk about what Tony said, if he was right, etc. We'll do that. Plus, I just have some thoughts about MPJ. I always kind of talk about MPJ within the context of things, whether it was 2019 and, you know, should he play more, or 2000 or 2020, like, should he play more, or should he come back this season, or where is he going to be when he does come back? All these types of questions. Let's go ahead and start with the MIP question, okay? So MPJ actually qualifies pretty strongly based on the historical markers for the award. So on Buckets, we talked a lot about these kind of things, which is basically all of the players that have won Most Improved Player over the last 10 years have had kind of a similar profile. They shot a number of times in, like, they shot like 11-ish times a game, and that jumped to about 15 or 16. So the question is just like, can you make that jump? Because that's guides into the points, which always determines Most Improved Players. Like, do you make this big jump in points? And MPJ actually qualifies based off what he did in 2021. Not last season, which obviously was a disaster in 9 games. But the season before, his averages were in line with that. Now, some of that was up and down, obviously, because he didn't start, and then he did, or then he did, and then all these things were complicated. The reason I think it's hard for him to win Most Improved, honestly, is the usage thing. There's a lot of mouths to feed now on the Nuggets because the team is so good, right? Jokic is going to get his, and Adam and I have talked about how we expect Jokic to kind of take like a few steps back just in terms of usage and production based off of these types of things. I don't think he'll have like, I don't expect him to win MVP. Now, I didn't expect him to win MVP last year, but I really don't expect him to win MVP this year, right? No one's won 3 in a row since Bird in 86, etc. We'll talk about that another time. But Jokic is still going to get his. Jamal, when he's on the court, is still going to get his. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope probably needs to get some three-point looks in order to establish gravity. Bruce Brown, probably going to get some looks because he's going to fit inside the defense and fill various gaps. Aaron Gordon needs to get touches because Aaron's been really efficient and good, even if the shooting hasn't been there. And then, like, obviously MPJ is above a lot of those players in the pecking order. You can argue about Aaron, depending on definitions. But I do think that in order for MPJ to make the leap that he would have to you would be talking about just a ton of usage, just a really high level amount of usage. And I don't know that he's going to be able to get there. That's before we start asking the question of like, look, he tried to come back from the back surgery in April. He suffered a setback and then he was out again. By all accounts, he's been great. He looks great. Looks 100%. Everything looks good. It's always going to be a question with MPJ. That's always going to be a question. But the question of whether he can win MIP or not, I think, is a little bit outside that. Another interesting thing here is that guys that have won MIP, surprisingly, they haven't been just good in the last 10 years. They've been literally all-stars and all-NBA. Not fringe all-stars, like solidly all-stars. Julius Randle, Ja Morant, Brandon Ingram. These guys weren't borderline cases. It was always, oh no, they're an all-star this year. And a lot of them had cases or actually did make all-NBA teams. Do you think that MPJ can get to a point where he's an all-star next season? Can he be most improved? Can he be a borderline, if not actual all-NBA selection next season? We know the talent is there. But he's had such a big setback physically. I don't know what to expect this year in terms of does he progress from the point he left off on in 2021? Or does he have to start a step below that and then reestablish himself higher? Like, these are all questions I think that you genuinely have to ask if we're considering most improved player for MPJ. There's just like not an easy kind of question here. Without injuries, Brad notes, like, always scared of MPJ, but without injuries, and then makes a rather uncomfortable emoji. I think, look, I've talked about him as like, look, he's a 6'10", 50, 40, 90 shooter. And we'll talk about that a lot more in the second and third segment. You know, and Adam's been like, look, actually, he was closer to like 45% from three. The ceiling is the floor with him sometimes, I guess, or whatever that phrase is, right? In terms of talent, he's unbelievable because he's able to convert so many shots that just like they're low percentage shots and he just drains them like they're nothing. However, I'd also say that we did see a lot of times that he has lacked the ability to kind of create one-on-one beyond just catching the ball and jab-stepping and shooting or taking a couple of dribbles versus a sinking defender. Like, need to see him be able to attack the basket. Need to see him to be able to create offense on his own. Need to see him to be able to give him the ball and isolate and be like, he can go get a bucket that's not just a contested pull-up three. Maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe he'll just can fire, rise and fire because that's actually worked really well for him. So when we talk about most improved player, is there a narrative that helps him with coming back from the injury? Not really. That's usually not how this award is given. They used to have comeback player of the year, but they got rid of it. And so like comeback player of the year, his odds would have to be like, I don't know, plus 200 or something. Like, extremely low. Misses the entire season with this injury and then comes back. It'd be him and Jamal would be the favorites. No question. C. Palmo says, I just want MPJ 60%. The Nuggets will be fine. Yeah, I mean, that's the key here is a big reason why MPJ may not win most improved player next season is because he does not have to. Like, the Nuggets can be absolutely elite and he doesn't have to have an awesome season. A lot of this, I think, gets into what MPJ wants and what kind of season MPJ wants to have and what MPJ is expecting and what MPJ's objective and agenda is for the season. Because all players operate simultaneously on a team-oriented level and a personal level. Like, you have to take care of your team's needs and try and win games. You also have to look out for your career and try and accomplish the things that you want to accomplish so that you can take your career where you want to go. Now, MPJ already got paid, right? But he does want to be considered an elite player. Can't do that if you're just like filling in the gaps as a spot-up shooter. So I think all of that has to be considered as well. Zamora asks, what kind of stat line do you expect from MPJ? And that's a great question and one that we'll get into when we also discuss Tony Jones's comments when we come back in just a minute on Locked On Nuggets. But first, it's that time. Oh, yes, it's that time. I've got to tell you about Built Bar. If you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. That's right, greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right, Built's done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite, the Cookie Dough Chunk Puff. It's got a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks that aren't so big that they, like, you're not going to bite down hard on them. They're small enough to where you get the you still get the flavor, but they don't, the texture is just absolutely perfect on them, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. My daughter loves these things. We went to this great park in Fort Collins today called Twin Silos. It's got these giant silos you can run around in. And we were like, okay, we're going to get water bottles. And she's like, I'm getting a Built Bar. Didn't ask, was just like, I'm getting a Built Bar. That's how much my daughter loves these cookie dough chunk puffs. Run to Built.com and snag a box for the family. It's going to be a perfect treat, or you can just hoard them for yourself if you don't want to share. Like all Built Bars, new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate, and it's infused with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at Built.com. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for joining us and making us part of your day. Bonus episode talking about MPJ this week. I want to go ahead and get it in. Moon Nugget did ask, did you sincerely title the episode this evening after the events on Twitter? No, I'm recording this on Tuesday night. Tony Jones did get into it, but I actually was like, I think I want to do an MPJ episode after talking about it over on my other podcast, Buckets. I want to go ahead and just talk about this, and it just kind of came up. Let's go ahead and talk about what Tony said. So, look, Tony, good friend of mine. I like Tony. Tony is very cool with me. And we've gotten into it before. We've disagreed on things. Oftentimes, we're going to disagree again. I'll say this. I think Tony is very high on the Nuggets. I think Tony is pretty low on MPJ because, I'll say this, the Utah guys all recognized that in the 2020 bubble, they picked on MPJ and played him off the floor in a way that Utah very rarely does. Like, they don't really target guys that way. And they really put MPJ through the ringer. And that was, you know, it's going to be 2 years ago, right? He's older. I don't know if he's better defensively, but that stood out. All of the Jazz writers have really mentioned that. It stood out that basically in a big moment, MPJ was not ready for what he was tasked with. And you can look at what he did last year in the playoffs and kind of provide as a counterexample. I think that's fair. And then, obviously, he got into it with several folks, including Zamora, because he made the comment that MPJ is a good shooter, but not an elite shooter. Okay. So look, for Porter's career, he is a 52% shooter from the field, a 42% shooter from three, and 80% from the free throw line. He has a career effective field goal percentage of 61%. He shot 44.5% in 2021 in 61 games played. From three, 44.5. Just an absolutely absurd, ridiculous number. And so if you're a Nuggets fan, you're able to recite those stats pretty easily. And you're oftentimes gonna probably get into the idea of like, look, you could say what you want, but the numbers are the number, and this guy just hits shots. And that's true. And I think that those of us that watch him on a nightly basis when he's healthy are able to recognize that, like, look, man, these are not just, like, open catch-and-shoots that MPJ's drilling. If anything, he's oftentimes waited for the guy to catch up instead of shooting immediately, and that gave them a more contested shot, and he just hit it anyway. Like, he just hit those shots anyway, which I've always kind of said is, like, if you want the mark of MPJ, and we'll talk about this in the third segment a little bit, is he was always a guy that no matter what my criticisms were, I could never, ever, ever justify trading him, because you watch him hit these shots and you're just like, those are the kind of guys that absolutely just warp the game for the opponent. When you can't do anything, when guarding them doesn't matter, that's ridiculous. Here's a number for you. This is via Synergy Sports. On catch and shoot opportunities in 2021, he took 165 shots, okay? And that were guarded. I'm sorry. These are catch and shoot opportunities. Out of 271 total, MPJ was guarded on 165. He shot 39% on those shots with a 58.2 effective field goal percentage. That was 81st percentile league wide in that season. It's pretty elite, I would say. I would have to say it's pretty elite. Minimum 100 possessions. MPJ was 13th in points per possession on guarded catch-and-shoot opportunities in 2021. If you make it 150, he was the fourth best shooter in the league that season, behind Tim Hardaway Jr., Steph Curry, Nikola Jokic, and then you have Michael Porter Jr., okay? So that makes... I understand the argument for objectively, from a statistical profile, MPJ is an elite shooter. Carlos says, is there a butt coming? Well, yes, there's a butt coming. But what Tony's actually trying to get to here is not a metrics forward argument for how well do you shoot the basketball out of 100 attempts. It's about, are you able to make the biggest shots in these moments when things get extremely tough? Now, people have mentioned, like, he came back versus the Clippers and played very well. It's accurate. It's a good point in 2020 bubble. He came back and was very good versus the Clippers in that series. He was pretty good versus the Blazers. He's pretty banged up versus the Suns. Wasn't great in that series. So I don't necessarily think that we have the answer for whether or not he can be that guy, whether he is quote-unquote that dude in these moments. I would probably counter that the answer is closer to we don't know than he's not. But I also understand the argument when you're comparing him to, by the way, this is the comparison lodged, and what Nuggets fans got upset about was Klay Thompson. I get it, because MPJ's never had any playoff performance like Klay Thompson has had many, 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 many times. Look, Klay's also one of the best shooters of all time. He's elite on a not-now level, not even not now because of the injuries, but even when he was playing, not just on a elite level for that season, Klay is an all-time elite shooter. I have never been in an environment like 2016 Game 6, ever. That was one of the weirdest experiences of my life. Everyone in the media after that Thunder Warriors game, Game 6, was in shock. Like, stunned. If it wasn't inappropriate because of the links to PTSD and the very real issues that surround that for veterans, I would describe it as shell-shocked. Like, that's how it felt, was everyone's just like, oh my God. Like, what just happened? Like, what just happened? And MPJ's never really had something like that. Now Zamora, again, I think Zamora says Klay's also 30 something. That's accurate. That's absolutely true. He's older now. The gap between them is probably closer than it ever has been, right? But what Tony's actually talking about is reputation. Klay is like, Tony's not gonna, I'm putting words in Tony's mouth here, but I feel like I get what he's saying, and I kind of agree with him. Until somebody like actually knocks him off, like, that guy still has that reputation. Klay had some bad playoff performances, especially in the finals. I kept waiting for that good game and it never came, right? So maybe he's not there anymore. And if you want to make that argument, then Klay's not elite and MPJ's not elite. But if we're defining this based off of who can hit those type of shots in the playoffs, then it's fair to not describe MPJ as an elite shooter through that prism. The bigger point here, if you want to get into it, is that all these descriptions of elite, or like Joe Flacco, like elite, top tier, MVP, these are all very subjective concepts, right? A 40% shooter is high percentile. You don't have to define that as elite. If your definition of elite is about the types of shots that you hit, it's going to be very much subjective, and I think that that's fine. Hurricane, welcome in, Hurricane, by the way. We're not talking about things we can verify. We're talking about opinions about guys that are based off our best memories set up by a press that's openly full of shit. Well, maybe. But I would tell you that these guys also, like, tend to take their job pretty seriously. Like, that's a lot of it. Is a lot of times when you get pushback from writers, it's because it's an attempt to honestly, like, protect the game. Because you're trying to protect the history of it. Like, comparing MPJ when he hasn't actually accomplished anything to Klay Thompson, that does feel like a minimalization of what Klay has accomplished, and you don't want to do that. So I think that that's one of the things that you kind of have to consider it. Finally, just as far as the shooting stuff goes, I think MPJ has the potential to be an all-time elite shooter. I have never seen anybody with that kind of stroke. I've never seen anybody with that release point that high with that level of efficiency outside of Durant. That was why the Durant comp, I was just like, you can't get around it. You can't get around it with MPJ because he's 6'10". And that jumper is pure. It's absolute fallen snow. It's incredible. He can get there, but he's got to be healthy. He's got to work for the right shots. He's got to have his head in the game. He's got to know where to be. And he's got to put in all of the work, and he's got to have the luck to stay healthy enough to get the reps to show that he can be that. When we come back, I want to talk about my general thing on MPJ, because I haven't ever really put it into words, I don't think. I want to kind of give my broad thoughts on MPJ as far as where he is as a player or where he was before the injuries. We'll talk about some of the injury stuff, but we'll also just talk about more of MPJ as a player and how to kind of analyze him and how difficult that's been. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for joining us and making this part of your day. Your first listen each and every day. Thanks for joining us, especially if you've joined us in on the YouTube channel. Zamora's in here. Hurricane's in here. We got Tyson. Tyson's putting in some really good comments. Got lots of comments. Brad hanging out. Kenya is there. Lots of good stuff here on the Nuggets, in the Nuggets chat here on YouTube. Make sure you give us those 5-star reviews. They help us out. They really do. If we can get those, it just really helps spread the word. Tell a friend. Holler at a friend and be like, hey, do you like the Nuggets? Well, yeah, I like the Nuggets. How can you not? You should listen to Locked On Nuggets. It's a great podcast. Do that for me. Help me out. Okay. I wanted to talk about MPJ's MIP case, and I wanted to talk about MPJ's, the stuff that Tony had talked about, but I also kind of just wanted to give a broad kind of dissertation on how I view MPJ. So he was the hot commodity when he was a rookie, right? Because in 2019-20, because he was this player that everyone knew was talented, and it took him time to get minutes, and then he wouldn't play much, and then he would get yanked, and he wouldn't play next game, and there was a lot of tension because people wanted to see more of MPJ, more, and then he has this massive game versus the Pacers, and he has this incredible stretch of games that proves how talented he is, and then it's like, why didn't you play him before? To the point where, like, that was like a big part of conversation that season, was like, why did Michael Malone not play MPJ more? And then if you actually, like, watched a lot of it, and you followed along, and you kind of saw the details, and especially if you paid attention to in the playoffs, you realize, like, why, obviously, this was a thing. Like, why MPJ didn't play more. He became so talented that he had to play, and in 2020-21, he got those opportunities, and he put up an absolutely monster season in 2021. 61 games played. Started 54 of them, 19 points, 1.1 assist, but 7 rebounds per game, along with 0.7 steals and 0.9 blocks. The blocks are really absolutely kind of ridiculous for him. His per 36s, 21.9, 8, 0.4, one block, 0.8 steals, just 1.4 turnovers. Again, the 44.5% shooting and 54% from the field. Like, based off of his 2021 numbers, it was pretty reasonable to be like, you know, it's a 55-45 season is not out of the question. I don't even know how to contextualize that. I don't even know what to, like, I don't know what to think about a 55-45 season. That's insane. That's absolutely, like, ridiculous. Josh brings up, it wasn't that long ago, he had zero versus the Boston Celtics. That's right. He had that game versus the Celtics, and that was, like, a real low point. And then I didn't know if he was going to come back from that, and he did. We've talked a lot about that on the show before, about what it took for him to be able to get through that rough stretch that he was in and find his way back and become such a valuable and impactful player. One thing that's kind of always been an issue, the playbook knowledge was an issue early on. And it never really improved to the point where it was just kind of an uncomfortable thing where you can't have key members of your team, starters, crucial components, be lost in terms of where they're supposed to be on the floor. And that still happened with MPJ a lot on both ends. The tough start this season, which I at this point am willing, based off of the knowledge that we have now, to be like, it's just the injuries. Like, he tweaked his back in preseason. He wasn't right. That led to everything because his numbers were too bad to explain it any other way. But I will say that there's been a recurring concern of mine that he's a phenomenal one-on-one player, a pure hooper, and that I don't know. I was talking about this with a friend the other day that doesn't actually like follow the NBA, and he was asking me questions. And I made reference to the difference between hooping and the NBA, and he was like, well, what's the difference? And I was like, the NBA really is like its own structure. It's its own game. It's one of the reasons why international prospects that are phenomenal in their respective leagues sometimes struggle here, the same way that I think a lot of NBA players would struggle in those leagues. Would not be shocking at all for an accomplished player in the NBA to struggle in overseas leagues, much the same way that a very accomplished player in Facu Campazzo struggled here. That wouldn't surprise me at all because it's just different. It is its own kind of universe, right? The question is, can MPJ play NBA basketball at a high level? I think it's pretty obvious he can, right? Can he do it? Can he be a guy that isn't exploited on defense? Can he be a guy that doesn't cause hiccups with lineups or rotations or spacing or frustrate his teammates? Can he be like a seamless integral component? I tend to think yeah. And I didn't always, but it's important to remember a key thing is there's some guys that just get it. They just get it. They just understand it. There's guys that just walk on the court and they understand how to play. A lot of guys, it's about reps. They really do. Like, I've seen a lot of really talented players look clunky and out of place, and it took time and circumstances to be right for them to get to that point, especially when you consider his injury history, which, of course, limits that is going to cause concern for what he's going to be able to do. Nuggets fans are always going to be holding their breath when MPJ falls. They're always going to be gasping whenever MPJ grabs his back just if he gets elbowed. They're always going to be nervous about MPJ. You have to be. That's just the reality of where he's at physically. The reason that I don't necessarily make assertions on those things, I haven't said ever, he's never going to be healthy. He's never going to be right. He's never going to be able to play. Is that there are cases where you've seen that less and less. Like, there's just fewer Grant Hills in the world than there were 30 years ago. But also, so much of this is just, it really is a luck factor. It's a randomness. It's the general chaos of the universe. So I think that there's a lot of that to consider when we talk about this. I am not ready to, like, doom MPJ's career. I'm just very much like, it's a concern. We'll see how he handles it. I want to get to some of the comments in here. Josh says he's got that dog in him. He does. That's a big part of it with MPJ. Talking to people in the Nuggets front office is just the one thing that's been resonated over and over again is he wants to be great. Not he wants to get paid. Not he wants to prove himself. It's he wants to be like one of the best players in the NBA. That's where MPJ thinks he belongs. That causes problems when you are some of the other players in the league and you're like, you are not KD. You know, if you're in the locker room and you're like, you were not there. You were not an elite shooter, right? So that causes problems. But the drive to get there is important because it does set him up with the work ethic to put in what he needs to get there. And the motivation to be angry at the disappointments and the failures and the criticism. You know, like he hasn't responded well to criticism from the media. Don't blame him. It's not fun being criticized. I don't have that. Like Twitter is what I get, and it's bad, but it's not like it is for Michael freaking Porter Jr. So, but he does want to be great, and I think that that really does matter. Zamora asks, could he handle playmaking duties? He's going to be asked a lot of it if he has to be the main scorer along with Bones in that second unit. I disagree. I think you can run a pretty stilted, stagnant, post-up offense in that second unit, and he just gets buckets. And I also think that Bones can work a little bit, depending on if they can find anyone that can screen anyone, then they'll be able to run enough movement to kind of get some stuff going. I think that it'll be okay. Like, I don't think that... One, I don't think you want MPJ making reads. That's going to be turnover city. I just don't think he's wired to make those kind of reads. I also don't think he will. I think most of the time his reads are all going to be about how can I get to the shot I want. And that's fine because he can hit fadeaways. Like there's all those types of things. Eric says something interesting. Eric says, I think the setback has realigned his values on the court. Only my speculation. I don't know him well enough. And I don't have enough sources close to him. I will say that my general impression from Summer League and the summer has not that I do not hear like he has like he's found what he needs to do. He's had like a real realization about his career and, you know, I don't get that impression. Because a lot of it is like MPJ can be successful just doing the stuff that he wants to do. That's how talented he is. He just has to be healthy. Genuinely, none of the other stuff matters. Now, the other stuff, I think defense in particular, it is what separates out the greatest. It is. You need to be great defensively, or at least you need to not be a weak point. Teams have gone at Steph, and it doesn't work well, because Steph is not a good defender, but Steph works his ass off to not be the weak point. And he does pay attention to the scouting, and he does pay attention to what to the game plan and all those types of things. That differential is important. Hurricane says, I remember I gave my little sister a stern look one time, and in my most serious voice I said, you're just like Grant Hill, and she cried. Oh, that's very mean. Do not do that again. So, as we look back on MPJ, I think he was frustrating from so many levels, and in 2020, I believe, when he was struggling in 2020-21, I was on the phone with Ryan Blackburn, who you should listen to Pickaxe and Roll and follow his work at Mile High Sports. I was on the phone with Ryan, and he was like, so, you know, I was like, but he can't play Ryan. He's, like, struggling. He doesn't know the playbook. Like, he's lost. And he was like, so do you trade him? And I was like, no, you can't. He's a 6'10", 50, 40, 90 shooter. You can't. The Nuggets, I think, need to be applauded, honestly, for their patience with MPJ. It would have been easy to be like, ooh, this guy's really talented. We could get something for him that actually knows how to play with our guys and knows how to do all these things. They stuck with it because they know how talented he is. They've really have stood by him in many ways. Now, I don't know what happens with Tim Connelly gone. That's an interesting question. I think all indications are, from my point of view, that Calvin Booth and Tommy Balchettis believe 100% that, like, MPJ's too good to move on from at any point. I think Michael Malone doesn't want him gone. I think Michael Malone just is always having to evaluate how many headaches can he have at one time. And MPJ is a pretty big one. But MPJ's also had the breakouts under Malone, and Malone's had success with MPJ. A lot of times, some of the best coaching relationships aren't smooth. They're full of conflict and drama. That's part of it. So, above all, with the injuries, I'll say, and Tyson says this, just hope he can stay healthy for him and for the Nuggets, for real. The pain is always where I go with this, is that anytime you got a player that's gone through this time, Michael Porter Jr. has just been through an incredible amount of pain. Like, a lot of physical pain. Like, for a kid as young as he is to have gone through this many back surgeries, that is so much pain, discomfort, and rehab. It's so much work. That's awful. But he keeps coming back, and there's something to be said for that. We'll see what more MPJ can provide the Nuggets and what he can prove about himself this season, one of the most important in Nuggets history. And we'll chronicle it all here on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining me, making this part of your day. Appreciate it. Give us those 5-star reviews on Apple. Give us a follow on Spotify. Give us the like and subscribe on the YouTube page. You can catch the show live. We will be back tomorrow morning. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'll be back on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time to talk about Jamal Murray and how he can avoid his slow starts that he typically goes through, even coming off of the injury. We'll do that tomorrow when we return on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining me. See you guys again next time.